Romans 10, verse 17 is where we're going to begin. It says, so then faith, which is believing, right? It's the word pistis. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So comes by the word of God. What's it talking about? Because everybody believes something. But it's talking about believing God. The context of the Bible is when it talks about believing, the law of believing, it always has to do with God. And believing God is in the spiritual realm. It's not in the senses realm. We hear God's word. God is spirit, right? His words are spiritual. And we know what to believe, and then we know what to do. Sense knowledge comes from hard work, application, and sacrifice. We don't care about sense knowledge. Well, we're kind of trapped in the world of a sense knowledge existence. And that's what makes it a little more difficult for us because we want to be spiritual men and women. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. This is where Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. And in verse 3, we could read verse 1 and 2. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came, which is the devil, came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. That's a pretty good temptation, right? If you haven't eaten for 40 days and whatever. But he, Jesus Christ, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's words are spiritual, and they teach spiritual things. This, you know, Jesus Christ was quoting from Deuteronomy. He knew it was more than just sense knowledge. He understood the spiritual realities, the spiritual truths in life. And we have to always come to the realization that spiritual truths are greater than the truths in the sense knowledge world. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So here it says in verse 16, all scripture would be all that's written down from Genesis to Revelation, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Those words, inspiration of God, mean God breathed. And they are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So if God is spirit and all scripture is God-breathed, therefore his words are spiritual, and that gives us spiritual knowledge as opposed to sense knowledge, right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. So we've established the basics. There's a difference between spirit knowledge and sense knowledge. And sense knowledge many times, most times, goes against what God says. So, chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith, or believing, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Another translation would be, now believing is the title deed of things prayed for, the evidence or proof that they are yours before they are seen. You got that? 11, Hebrews 11, chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Okay, and then verse 2, it said, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." You know, the different men of God in the Old Testament that believed God, that were men of God, they believed God, and because of it, they received a good report. They got A's on their report card. And then it says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And boy, that's the you know, the big difference. The things of the world. Rock on. There you go. Through believing. The worlds were framed by the word of God. If we go back into Genesis 1, what does it say? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let there be this. And God said, let there be that. He spoke it into being. And it says what? That the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Now man and sense knowledge says to make something you have to have materials. You know, everything is made for... You start off with the very basics. You cut down trees, or you mine minerals and metals and all those different things, and you turn them into different things, right? And you make houses, you make cars, you make whatever. But it says here that God made everything from what? Nothing. Sense knowledge, that boggles the mind, doesn't it? It's totally opposite of what senses would say. And that's why people that don't believe in God have a hard time understanding, because they don't have the ability to see the spiritual truths behind things. Anyway. So this has no logic in the senses realm. There's no logic in the senses mind, and that is why most people don't understand spiritual truths. They can't understand them if they don't have spirit, if they don't see the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, or believing cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by sermons, not by philosophies, not by anything but the word of God. Let's go to John chapter 3. Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 1 we're going to start. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This guy was supposed to be, well, he was a religious leader, right? He was supposed to be spiritual, but he wasn't. He was a member of the Pharisees, a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling group of people that ruled Israel, you know, the Jews, not, you know, had nothing to do with the Romans. The Romans came in and conquered, but they would let people rule themselves as long as they paid their taxes, type of thing, you know, and didn't cause trouble. It says, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. Rabbi just really means teacher. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. The word know is the word in Greek, oida, which means to perceive. And he said, we know that you're a teacher from God because you do these miracles. Well, how did he know that he did miracles? They saw them, right? It was in the sense knowledge realm that they saw them, they perceived, but he didn't really understand anything beyond what he saw. So it boggled their minds, didn't it? They couldn't understand it. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Okay? Must be born from above. And the word to see is the word, it means to know or be acquainted with. Not physically see, but to know. He said, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot know the kingdom of God. Cannot be acquainted with it. Cannot enter it. All kinds of things. So Nicodemus replies, and he saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? That is a perfect sense knowledge reaction. That's sense knowledge, isn't it? It's logic. You know, Jesus Christ said, born from above or born again. And he says, well, how can you be born a second time? Because he had no spiritual understanding. He had no spiritual insight because he didn't have spirit. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus Christ goes on to explain it to him. You have to be born of spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And that's the dividing line. That's the difference between the truth of God's word and what's going on and what's not. It's the difference between spiritual truth and sense knowledge logic. You know, if you look at most of religions, religion is based on sense knowledge logic, right? You have to do this to be good. If you're not good, you're not going to heaven. If you don't do this, you're going to get punished. If you do this, you're going to earn points, and so on and so forth. That's all sense knowledge. What God asks of man, which is really simple, is that you believe. And how do you believe? By understanding the truth of the spiritual words of God's word. Right? Then you have something to believe spiritually. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. You know, the word spirit and the word wind come from the same word. The word breathe comes from the same word. You don't see breath, do you? Really? You just know the effects. Nicodemus answered and said, How can these things be? It boggled his mind. He was just, what are you talking about, Jesus? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen and received not and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things or spiritual things? You see? Because he didn't understand it. He goes on to, you know, say, you're supposed to understand this. Aren't you a master? I skipped it, didn't I? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? you know, if they had studied the Word of God, what did it talk about? It talked about having spirit. It talked about God's desire that all his people would have spirit at some point in time. That was his desire. God's desire is for his people to have spiritual understanding and awareness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 17, we're going to start. So just because you're born again, does that mean you have spiritual understanding and awareness? No, not necessarily. Lots of people get born again because they, you know, hear the Christmas story, hear the Easter story. They think, okay, and they believe it when they're, maybe even when they're kids. But then they don't ever get taught what the Word says. They don't ever get explained to them what spirit is, even though they may have spirit. And they don't know that they're supposed to have spiritual understanding. It says in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. God wants us to understand. You cannot truly comprehend or understand God by sense knowledge. You can only understand some of the effects. But, you know, people explain those things off. If you ever read, there's all kinds of books out there that try to explain away the miracles of the Bible. They explain, my sons went to Catholic school, Jeffrey and Stevie, and they had to take a religion class, which was kind of fun for them because they knew more than the priest that was teaching. And so the one guy said, well, you know, the Red Sea didn't really part. It's the Sea of Reeds, and it's only three feet deep at the deepest part. And so Stevie said, well, it's still a miracle then because the Egyptian army got drowned in 3 feet. The guy didn't know what to say about that. You know, they try to explain away the different miracles. They try to explain it with sense knowledge. You know, how did it stop the River Jordan from flowing so that they could cross into the Promised Land? And there's all kinds of theories, and there's all kinds of scientific explanations. They're all what? Sense knowledge. You know, but the Word says what it says. It's pretty wild. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our what? Weaknesses, right? Infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. For he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's Spirit, you know. When we pray in the Spirit, we do what? We pray perfectly. We don't always know what to pray for. Our logic doesn't get us there. Our reasoning doesn't get us there. But God knows all. And so we pray for things and we don't even know, but God's doing his best to get us to the place that we can believe. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 17 is where we're going to start. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 is all about, you know, sense knowledge and spirit knowledge. It says, "For Christ sent me not," this is Paul writing to the Corinthians, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Not with the wisdom of words. Now, there are words and they do have wisdom, but they're God's words. But here, God sent Paul to preach, and it was not with the wisdom of words, because the wisdom of words didn't make sense to man. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Who are those that perish? Sense knowledge man that won't believe. So when he talk about, I remember we went to get a new phone, and there was this guy there. He was the salesman for Verizon. And I started to witness to him, and he goes, "Well, I don't believe that stuff." And he gave me all this philosophical stuff. And why do I need saving? And so on and so forth. And, you know, it was like going up against the wall. You know, you ever get that where you talk to somebody, it's like a wall. They just don't hear anything. Alex knows all about it. He does. Says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Because it's not the wisdom of men, isn't it? It's not the wisdom of man's words, but it's the spiritual words of God. And he talked about, you know, the cross, how Jesus saved man. "But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." In in Romans chapter 1, it says, believing God's word is the power of God unto deliverance, right? "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Well, think about it. He has. You know, so many things that God tells us, the world just says the opposite. The disputers of this world, you know, the Greeks, if you read in Acts and you see where Paul went to Athens, and he said, you know, there were all these different gods. There was a god for this and a god for that, a god for fertility, a god for planting, a god of winter, a god of spring, a god of the sea, a god of the sky, a god of the mountains. You know, there was a god for everything, just about everything. And then they had one for the unknown god, right? And the Greeks would hang out, they would come to the agora, the marketplace, and they would dispute and argue over things. And I remember taking a class in philosophy when I was in college, and one of the things they would argue about was how many teeth a horse had in his mouth. But they wouldn't go and count them. They just argue over it. And then, you know, they would philosophize and speculate on all these different things about nature. They just, you know, and they'd argue about it every day. "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." By the wisdom of the world, the logic, the reasoning of mankind knew not God. "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that do what?
Believe.
Believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Well, that's in the sense knowledge, right? A sign is in sense knowledge. The wisdom of the Greeks was in sense knowledge. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, the rock of offense, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Well, that pretty much sets it out there, right? The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of man, and the weakness of God is stronger than his strength and his power. It's just the way it is. God is spirit. If you want to worship him, you have to worship him how?
Spirit
and in truth. Natural man senses man wants to do works. And what are most religions based on? Works. Christian and otherwise. Hindu, Buddhist, all of them. They're based on works. Man wants to earn his way to heaven. He wants to figure it out on his own. He wants to be self-righteous. Basically, right? He wants to prove himself righteous. Righteousness or self-righteousness is his banner. Jesus Christ, and well, God says, where is the boasting? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Verse 20, it says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or believing of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference at all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every person that's ever lived, that's ever been born, has sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You know, that's something that sense knowledge can't figure it out, right? It's by grace. It's because God loves. And he just wants to bless whom God has set forth to be the propitiation or the payment through believing in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. You know, it's amazing. If we lived in the Old Testament, what would all these people do, you know, about the killing of animals? They would freak out, wouldn't they? To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. It's all about believing. Faith or believing cometh how? By the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of what? The law of believing. That's it. Nothing less, nothing more. If you want to be a spiritual person, then you just have to know the word, you have to have spirit, and you have to believe. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace you are saved through what? Faith or believing. Not of works, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. It's not about self-righteousness. It's not about works. It's not about how wonderful a person you are. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, all the promises of God are all based in the spiritual realm, not on the senses. They do not coincide with the senses realm. You know, the law of giving, does that make sense in the senses realm? No, it does not. Loving your enemies, does that make sense in the senses realm? It does not. Praying in the spirit, that makes no sense to the senses man. That we're all equal before God. You know, that doesn't make sense to people either. Righteousness, sanctification, all the things that we have from God are all, don't make sense in the senses realm. They don't at all. In Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says what? Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, what? Yeah. And by confession. Yeah, that's it. You believe and you confess. And that brings wholeness and righteousness. It's not by how good a person you are. It's now how hard you work. It's not because of your logic or your intelligence. And let's go to Romans chapter 4. This is a great verse. And it has to do with Abraham. Remember Abraham? He's the father of what?
Believing.
He's the great example of believing God, not relying on sense knowledge. He was 90 years, well, he was in his 70s, had no children. His wife was in her 60s, and God said, well, you're going to have a son. By her. And then it didn't happen for 25 years. And he's 99 and God comes back and says, well, you're going to have a child this time next year. And this is what it says. As it is written, verse 17, I have made thee, Abraham, a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What does that say? And he, who God calls things that are not as though they were. You know, even though it isn't, when God says it is and will be, it's already like it's past tense. It's already accomplished. It's already done. The ESV says, and calls into existence the things that do not exist. You know, that's how he made the world. That's how he made the universe. I looked up Hubble the other day. You hear the Hubble telescope. They named it after Hubble because up until the 1950s, they thought that the Milky Way was the universe. And then Hubble discovered that there were many galaxies beyond the Milky Way. And we found out today that there's billions or trillions of galaxies. So you think about it. If God says he measures the universe by the span of his hand. That's not comprehensible, is it, in the senses realm? That God can heal us, that he makes us whole. All the things he says he will do, we can't, by logic, explain them. Man cannot. The miracles of God are miracles, period. They're not explainable by science. They're not explainable. You can't quantify them. You can only see the manifestation and the results. But by the word of God, we believe. To believe God, to worship God, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's it. Not by, you know, whatever else we do. So, Father God, we just thank you that you gave us such a beautiful, incredible word that is spiritual truth, that your words are spirit and they are truth. And we thank you, Father, that we can train our minds to think spiritually, to be in that spiritual realm and not in that senses realm, that we can see beyond and see the truth of all things, that we can hold fast to what you've called us to. And we thank you for that in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.